And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
Here's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
Hello and welcome to the Glovers Cast, the only podcast dedicated to the only team that have been beaten by Welling United twice in the National League South this season, but still sit 9 points clear at the top of the league with a game in hand, Yeovil Town Football Club. Welcoming back Mr. David Coates from his travelling. Welcome back, Dave.
Absolute pleasure to be back. It's very cold in this country, isn't it? That's all I'm going to say.
Especially up north.
Oh, yeah. It's freezing. It was about 5 degrees when I got off that plane. I got on the plane at 21 degrees. What's that all about?
You've caught the sun as well.
Have I? Usually like a ghost in this room. I don't know. Something about the lighting. I've got to sort it out and don't quite know what I need to do. Maybe change a light bulb somewhere. But yeah.
And completing the trio. Second Sunday in a row. Mr. Elliot Watts, welcome back.
Good evening. Very pleased to have more appearances recently than Dave Cates. And he does look like Casper the Ghost sat there as well.
He just told me I caught the sun. Mate, mind not.
He's lying, Cates.
Yeah, if I do that. Yeah. Blimey. It's on the floor now.
Do you need to pick that before it catches fire, Dave?
No. It's all right. It's all right. Okay. We're all good.
So Yeovil played yesterday against Welling and the first home defeat of the season. Watson, you were there. Dave, you were listening in. Can I just
confirm that I definitely was not there? So you can't blame me for this one. It was not me. Nothing to do with me, this one.
Well, that's something, eh?
Yeah, Cleaver was there, but I wasn't there. He's going to kill me if I carry on with it.
I think when I saw the lineup for kickoff, I thought as strong a lineup as we could probably name at the moment. And, you know, I think felt quite confident into that game. What were your thoughts when you saw the lineup?
It was a strong lineup. I think what I'll start by saying is how lucky we not to have lost at Huish Park all season. We've been absolutely blessed. Before we go into a little bit of negative mode about the game yesterday, I don't remember a season for a long, long time where Saturday evenings haven't been marred by losing a game of football. So I will say that to kick us off today, that we've been blessed and we've been lucky at Huish Park. And yeah, there was grumbles about the result yesterday, and I'm sure that we all went home disappointed. But if you set those standards in the first place, then the fans come to expect it, don't they? When I saw the lineup as well, I think it's a toughie, but the only name that probably makes that the strongest team is Stevens, who sat on the bench yesterday. Mm. But aside from that, yeah, no grumbles about the lineup whatsoever.
Yeah, of the players that are available, anyway, I'd agree. Although, Stevens, whether he's fully fit or not, I'm not quite sure, but he seems to be being managed as well, doesn't he? His minutes seem to be.
Yeah, and he came on, you know, came on with plenty of time to make an impact as well, didn't he? I thought, but there we go. It was a bit of a struggle. So yeah, the lineup strong and started really brightly. I thought we, you know, dominated possession, we were bright going forward and looked like it was sort of a matter of time before we, you know, made that clear-cut chance and had the opportunity. I think there was a decent chance from Morgan Williams from a corner. The set pieces looked threatening. I think we had a video from Debs, didn't we, of the Morgan Williams chance, and I think looks like a good one.
It does look like a good one, yeah. And I think Debs might have got the best view of it from in comparison with the HP source was on the other side of it, wasn't it? But from where I could see it, which you couldn't have been sat too far away from where you were in the press box, Ian. But yeah, it did look like there were a few people on the line. But if he'd have got that on target, that's in, I think.
Yeah, there were some stunning corners going into the box in the first half yesterday. They were really threatening. And I think 9 times out of 10, you put your money on Morgan Williams to just poke that into the net. Free headers are tricky ones. We were talking about this in another game that we were watching yesterday. I think it was the Arsenal game last night. You put the ball in the net, you go, oh, that's a great goal. What a header. You miss it and you go, it's a free header. He should have scored. It is one of those. But yeah, absolutely whistled into the box. And if he puts that ball in early in the game, it wasn't long into the match at all. I think we're probably going to be having a different conversation today.
Was it Jordan Young's corner, that one, wasn't it? Is he doing
it? Was, yeah.
He's only doing them from that side, though, is he?
Yeah, it's a mix of him and Cooper, is it?
Cooper was on the other side putting him in, wasn't he? Yeah. And it was a bit more of a like flat, floated sort of delivery, some of them, rather than like in swingers. They were all a bit more floated. But, you know, every time on set pieces now, you sort of think, well, if we got up our sleeve here. And yeah, like you said, that one, if that one goes in, he was above everyone, but just couldn't get it down, could he?
No, they're the moments he scored from this season as well. So you think, oh, it's going to be him. And when you see him rise up, you think, oh, he's going to put it in. But yeah, just didn't come off early into the game. And then not too long after that, things went a bit wayward.
There was another chance in between, wasn't there? Because Newbley, was it Newbley headed wide, didn't he?
He headed as well, yeah. I don't think that was as clear cut as Williams, though. It looked a bit awkward. And I think Gary Brown, Mr. Gary Brown, the photographer, got a good picture of that one. And Morgan Williams is right behind Newbley and there's lots of bodies in front of him. But yeah, like you say, Watsy, not too long after that, we lose Michael Smith. And I can't remember a game where losing a right back has caused so many problems across the pitch.
This evening, I don't know if you can just describe Michael Smith as a right back. I mean, come on, he's much more than that to Elliot, isn't he?
Well, he's playing up front half the time because he's so bored and he finds it so easy. So, no, all things considered, yeah, it was a little bit of a tricky moment in the game, shall we say, a bit of a turning point in the first half. I don't really feel like after that we got a real grip on the half, so to speak, and we let them back into the game from that point where it was us. And I don't think it was because Smith was controlling much or doing much down that side. I think it was just we then had to put a bit of a square peg in a round hole. And you could have looked
changed
at that
to a three first, didn't we? We changed to a back three. So Falsten comes on the left of the three. Whittle goes to wing back, but it was more of a wide midfielder, and Pearson on the other side. And I think there's a, in the same way that we play out from the back, we tried doing that and it just didn't work. And I think there's a moment where Charlie Cooper gets caught and they have a decent effort. It's from outside the box. They have a good chance. And I think we just didn't get any control of possession in the same way that we had, which is why we then flip back to the 4-3-3 with Falsten at right back. So it didn't take long for him to change it. And, you know, I was nearly up and gone when it went to wing back. So that's it. I'm out.
Listening to Ian on the radio, there was an audible sigh when he realised what the formation was doing. But I can't say that of all the talents Sam Pearson has got playing right back, even if it is basically right midfield, it's really one of them. Were you surprised he didn't bring on Hours and move Worthy to right back where he has played, or is that the booking thing, do you think, that he's more likely to pick one up there than he is in central midfield?
I mean, he's picked up 9 yellow cards in central midfield. So I think
and a couple of right back, I'm sure, as well.
Likelihood's a bit of a harsh one to call it on. I think it was just one of them. In the moment, you've got to make a bit of a snap decision. We could look back on it and say that was the moment. And probably, yeah, for 20 minutes or so, they had real control. They were coming at us, to be honest, and we couldn't really get our foot on the ball. And when we did, there's lots of moments of sort of standing, not really knowing where to go with it or what to do with it. And that's been a little bit of a common theme at Huish Park recently, where it's been a bit slower out from the back, but it's worked and it's paid off for us so many times. So you can't, I know that there was some grumbles on Twitter and whatnot last night about it being slow football and whatnot, but if you're playing a average sport, which we seem to be, we're coming out on top at the moment for sure. It just, yeah, didn't click. And maybe on reflection, Worthington was the right player to put there. And if you haven't got Smith on Tuesday night, then there's a big decision to make, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And I don't think, you know, if the switch to the back three works, then it's not a problem, but it just became clear that so many players were uncomfortable in that sort of shape. And yeah, I think, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but I think in hindsight, you'd look at putting Worthy fullback and then hours in, or, you know, if Will Dawes isn't injured after Avely and he's on the bench, he comes in because he was fullback in place of Michael Smith on the Monday night. So, yeah, but I guess a lot's gone, you know, a lot's been said about, you know, Falston left-footed playing right back, but he struggled so much. He was beaten so easily as well, wasn't he, like in those defensive moments. And, you know, there's another question, is if you put Whittle on the other side and have Falston on the left, does, you know, is that a different dynamic as well? Like, you know,
Falston, we haven't seen Whittle move across at all. I don't think we've seen one game where Whittle's moved out of that position over to the other side, not that I can recall. So there's definitely something there. There's something in it for the reason behind him not moving across. We've then put Falston in. Like you say, if it pays off, it pays off. But he's had to go into the right back slot as a left foot player. Sometimes it works, other times, like yesterday, it just wasn't going to be, was it, down that side?
No.
What foot and does I think Alex Whittle kick with?
Left.
Left, okay.
What foot does he kick with?
I don't know, do I?
The only time he's moved was Maidstone, wasn't it? Didn't he move over to centre back at Maidstone?
He played a centre
and then
back,
you had
yeah.
one all right centre back, and one always very left footed as well, with Williams at fullback. So
I saw Whittle move across that once at Huish Park to hoof the ball out and then just sprinted straight back to his standard position at left back. He didn't want to be anywhere near that side of the pitch.
I think Whittle's problem at Maidstone wasn't so much which foot he kicked with, it was the fact that he was marking that Mohamedou Fall, who's like about 4 foot taller than him, I think. So one of his legs is about the same size as Whittle. So I think that was more of his problem there.
Yeah, but, so it didn't work. And you know, the other downside of Michael Smith not being there is what he offers going forward, and there's no way Jay Falston's going to do the same and overlap comfortably, because he's always going to have to come back inside onto his left foot. And I think, you know, we're not a one-trick pony team, but so much of our success has been down the right-hand side, and Jordan Young has thrived when he's had Michael Smith behind him and on the overlap. It's given him that freedom to cut inside and come out of position, and he wasn't particularly able to do that, I don't think. And the times that he did do it, I think there was one time in the first half where he picks up the ball on the edge of our box, runs forward with it, and he's got Whittle and Sonny Blue on the left of him. All he has to do is get it out to them. But he takes one touch too many, gets tackled, concedes the ball, and then Welling have a good chance after that. And yeah, I think that attacking rhythm was sort of taken away as well, and that was a hard watch going forward, as well as at the backup points.
It just lacked that bit of cohesion to go with it, didn't it? That I'm going to get the ball, I know exactly where this is going, and I could put on a 50 pence piece as well if I need to. That was where we were really lacking, probably across the entire pitch yesterday as well. I think there was a few that were just felt like they were looking around unsure what to do a little bit. Decision making was lacking, and I don't think that's entirely down to Michael Smith whatsoever. I think it was just the tempo of the game and how the game sort of came together. Yeah, back to front, it was a little bit just didn't click yesterday, so to say.
How much credit do we need to give to Welling? It sounded like they very quickly picked up on what our problem was and put. I know they didn't particularly look like scoring other than that one where Joe Day looked a bit off his line, but you have to give them some credit.
I think so. Do you know what? I think it was hard. We took ages to figure out what even formation they were playing, because when they had the ball, they were a totally different shape to when they didn't. And I think in that first half, there were loads of points, especially when they were under pressure, when they could have just hoofed it long and just like cleared their lines. But every time they tried, you know, they tried to play, I think the keeper had a few dodgy kicks that you'd think put your foot through that, but he was trying to you know get them on the front foot and play. But I think a big part of it was the fact that we just didn't get into it. Like we let them come into the game and totally lost control. I think in the midfield particularly they seem to always have a man extra. I think Grant scored the goal, and it's a hell of a finish. But it felt like he had quite a big game. And, well, we went into that game with both of our centre midfielders not needing to get bookings, which quite miraculously they didn't. But I think that bite in the midfield probably wasn't there in the same way.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I didn't think they were that special. I mean, considering they were a team who beat us 4-1 at their place and they played us off the park that day. Obviously, they were the away team yesterday, but they didn't look like a side who were going to comfortably turn us over. They had moments in the game where they had some good chances throughout it, and yeah, Grant was a bit of a nuisance. But the goal eventually comes from an awkward bobble of a ball across the box, and they latch onto a bit of a, in inverted commas, mistake. They didn't threaten us an awful lot. They were just up our end of the pitch a good amount of the time.
Yeah, the shots were from distance, weren't they? I think Papadopoulos had a few, like, got Joe Day stretched a few times, but they were all comfortable saves. They were saves you'd expect him to make rather than him ever really being, you know, overstretching to get to something. Go on, Dave.
I can say their keeper makes a good save, doesn't he, at the end of the first half? Is that Sonny that he makes it from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looked like a good save anyway.
That opened up nicely, and he sort of tries to curl it into the corner.
Our one shot on target, wasn't it? I think that was our only shot on target the first half.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't until Thomas comes on at the end that we get a few more efforts in at goal. I just want to go back on the sort of how all over the pitch we looked a little bit out of sorts. I think especially in that second half, there was a couple of moments where Wannell and Williams, who've been so composed all season, and even they looked rattled. I think there was one moment where Wannell's just a little bit out of position and Grant's already running and has got the pace on Wannell, and then Williams has to make a tackle that he goes in the book for and concedes the free kick. And there was just a couple of those moments as well, which we've not seen. And I think it was just a really weird afternoon where stuff that we've not seen at Hewish Park for a year, sort of a bit of that came out again.
On that point, the referee, he seemed to be quite card happy. He was so happy to get his averages up, wasn't he? I think he booked about five, six of their players in a couple of hours, I think.
He was card happy.
Yeah.
But I didn't think he was.
Yeah, gave eight bookings, so that is quite card happy, you're right. Yeah.
He didn't. I don't feel like he had a bad game. I mean, he could easily have booked Worthy for a tackle on Grant, and Worthy hovers around him for ages. I'm thinking, run away, get as far away as you can, and you know, set up for this defensive action. But he's there. It's almost like he's like begging the referee to be like, I don't need a yellow card today. And then, you know, after the mistake from Cooper that they score from, he seems a bit not lost his head, but he's almost like he's looking for something to just kick through anything. And I feel like there's a couple of moments where you think, oh, he's going to get one here. But I mean, thankfully they saw it through.
Yeah, Cooper definitely has one that I remember that I was like, oh, I think he's going in the bucket. And yeah. I don't really know how, considering he was going out dishing a lot of yellow cards, he didn't get in the book there. I found that interesting, what you just said about Wannall, though, because I do recall the moment that you sort of mentioned. However, I did think he was man of the match yesterday, and I was looking down at my sheet there. I thought he was an absolute rock yesterday, won everything, and we relied on him a lot.
And in that first half, he relished the battle with Grant.
Yeah,
like it was one of those proper centre-back performances where he was winning the tackles and then having a bit of a word with Grant and sort of like, yeah, giving him a bit of needle. But I mean, that's how good he's been all season, that, yeah, there were a couple of moments that stood out. Yeah, and I'd agree, he was by man of the match as well yesterday, because he rarely puts a foot wrong, but it was just that spell in the second half where it was just like, oh, we're under it a bit here, and they're not reacting in the same way that they normally do.
Yeah, Frank had probably quite a quiet game yesterday, I would say, as well. He had to drop quite deep to get the ball a lot of the times, and it does go back to that sort of one where we're missing a striker right beside him, doesn't it?
Yeah, I thought when he moved centrally, because he was on the left at the start, and then Sonny goes out there, I thought as soon as he was put through the middle, he came to life and had a shot. And again, he's good on the left. He's I think he's better in the middle. But it was just there was tactical changes going on throughout the game to try and find that rhythm. And we just never managed to find it at all. And I don't know. We can't put it down to Michael Smith going off particularly, I don't think. And I don't think we can, you know, you can't give Jay Falston all the blame because he's one man in an 11-man team. But just, yeah, the going forward, it just did not click at all. And I don't know if it was, I don't know if there's a bit of tiredness there. I think in a perfect world, you probably wouldn't have played Sam Pearson as much as we've played him and put him under that sort of pressure of leading the line. If Murphy and Hyde fit, there's no way that Pearson's going to be in that position, having to be your main striker. So, yeah, I think there's plenty of thinking to do at that top end of the pitch. And I know we've had quite a few questions. Obviously, Malachi Linton scored a couple of goals at the weekend for Weymouth. He was player of the month for them in February as well, and scored a few, and still training with us, still on HP Source. And yeah, there's been quite a few questions, sort of Mal scoring goals. Should we recall him and get him back in?
He, harsh as this sounds, I don't know if he just walks into the team, and if he's going to just sit on the bench, is it even worth doing? To be honest, we built this gap so early in the season for a reason, that we can lose a game yesterday and one of the teams below us lost, one of the teams won, and we've still got a 9-point gap with the game in hand. I don't think Malachi Linton just comes in, walks back into the team and makes the waves that maybe people are suggesting that he's going to. He's got a place at Weymouth where probably is one of the first names on the team sheet, and I don't know if you're necessarily going to see that the same here. Is it worth it? I'm going to stick it out there and say probably not.
And I'm not sure he is a, talk about Rhys Murphy and Jake Hyde and those kind of players that would play alongside Newplay. I don't think Malachi Linton is that player, and I don't know what Weymouth are doing with him, but I imagine they've probably got a formation and a game plan which suits his game, which is probably why he's scoring goals. But no, I would agree with you that whilst yes, he's scoring goals for a team that's struggling, I'm not sure if he was there that he would be a regular starter, even though we are struggling ahead of the likes of Pearson, Newbley, and now Thomas is available again. I think he looked quite lively when he came on, but that could probably be more of an impact. He could be certainly more than an impact than I would imagine Linton could be.
Yeah, and I think on Thomas, you know, he had that. There was a couple of decent chances. I think there's the first one where I was sure he was going to take it on his right foot, and then he cuts back onto his left and takes it a little bit wider, and it just goes past the post. And then the other one's in stoppage time, I think, isn't it? When the ball gets into the box, and I think it's his left foot. He sort of sweeps his left foot, and it's blocked inside the box. But just his directness and like his ability, because of his size, his ability to like just bounce off of defenders and really push him away. Newbley, in theory, you'd think Newbley could do that, but he's just not that kind of player in the same way that Thomas is. At the same time, he's an 18-year-old kid who we can't go piling the pressure on him to be the answer to all our goal scoring concerns, but certainly if you've got a different kind of striker that the others can play off, play around and sort of create more opportunities from that, then hopefully that means more goals.
I like Thomas off the bench. I think we had an opportunity earlier this year to see him start and it didn't work when he was here last time. I don't think he's got that spark maybe that he could come on with at 65, 70 minutes and run at very tired teams necessarily from minute one of the match. And I know this all came from the Linton and Thomas discussion in the first place. I do like him off the bench. I wouldn't love to see him on a starting lineup, I don't think, yet. He probably needs a little bit more match experience, bit more match fitness as well. We know he's picked up injuries and he is young, like you say. Effectively, what we're just looking for now is to get this down season over the line as quickly as possible and get out this league. That's all we need to do. We just need to do it by hook or by crook over the next few weeks so that we're not taking it down to the wire. And with the buffer that we've got, we absolutely shouldn't and won't be. And I've seen nothing to suggest that we will be. Every time we've lost, we've picked back up straight away and got a win and whatever. I don't think we need to go around tinkering with too much. Would love to see Murphy back, of course, to settle things. But I don't think we need to worry massively about the striker situation.
I wonder whether, as you say there, the goals that we've got, there's not been... You know, we've had several players that have got into double figures now, I think. And whether a player like Thomas or Newbley, potentially, that kind of focal point up front brings those players in, brings in Young, who, I'm only watching it off the highlights and listening to the commentary, but didn't sound like it had his best game. Not many people had his best game yesterday, but Pearson as well. And I do wonder whether Thomas... You know, Thomas and Pearson obviously know each other with him as that focal point, whether you can bring those kind of those players into the game, and that's where the goals come from.
Yeah, I think again it's just finding a combination, isn't it? And it feels ridiculous to be talking about finding a combination that's gonna score goals when you're 9 points clear and you know, we've up until even up until Monday, like last Saturday, we scored 3 goals. And I know some of the goals have sort of been, you know, we've had a few set pieces recently. But, you know, I think the fact that Mark Cooper acknowledged that the goals have dried up a bit sort of shows you that he's thinking we need a bit more. We need to find something different.
And we have scored 67 goals in 37 games this season. I know a lot of them were earlier in the season. It's only worthy when you've got 79 that have scored more than that.
Yeah. And I just think about all the tosh that was dished up last season.
Yeah, exactly. And
try to remain level-headed and think, yeah, we're top of the league that we're in at the moment after struggling to even have shots on target.
That is 42 more goals than the whole of last season. So
yeah.
Yeah, we've still got exactly. What 10 games left, 9 games left,
9 games left, I think.
Yeah. 42 more goals than last season. We've lost once in Hughes Park. Of course, myself included, people left feeling a bit down yesterday, but it goes back to my point at the start. We have got lucky. You won't see many seasons at Hughes Park where you're coming home on a Saturday or a Tuesday night extremely happy. And before this season, I forgot what it even felt like. Like, I mean, we can get a bit down about losing a game of football, but we are 9 points clear and all we've got left to do is get it over the line.
Yeah. And the other thing, like, I'm conscious of is that we're playing teams that aren't particularly playing expansive football. There's only been a couple really that have come and really tried to play, but we're not playing teams that are trying to win in a way that it's like they're attacking us and making chances. Every team we've played is sort of shut up shop, not necessarily like backs to the wall, but sort of until you sort of let you have the ball until you come within a certain, certain distance of their goal and then start that sort of defensive action. And I think, I'd like to think that if we're in the National League next season, teams will come to try and actually attack us and score goals, and there'll be more space, more opportunities to sort of play.
Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, do you think part of the reason people, there's quite a few comments on social media, which I know is not an entirely accurate reflection of society, that it's about the style. Because let's be honest, the style that we play has got us 9 points clear at the top of the league. But I saw a lot of comments talking about it's boring, it's this and it's that. And not just this game either. There's been plenty of other games where you've seen that. A minority, admittedly, on social media, but is that part of the reason why people were feeling a bit down in the dumps?
Are they going to feel down in the dumps if we go up as champions? I think that's my question back to them.
Some people who were complaining regardless, even if we won by 200 points, I think they still...
Like Ian just said, it definitely can be dull at times. There's moments, like, I remember the Tuesday night the other week, I was basically having visions about 3 days later of Morgan Williams standing with the ball for about 15, 20 seconds with his arms out looking for someone. Yes, it can be like that at some points, but I think we've got to face the fact that teams are coming to Hughes Park to play defensive football. Teams are setting up behind the ball. You aren't just going to run at them and run at them and run at them and score a shed load of goals. We haven't seen the opportunities to even do that so far this season. There's been very few teams who come to Hughes Park for 3 points. Like most will settle for a draw, and if they pick up on a mistake, then they'll count, then they'll act on it. Well, up until yesterday, none of them's gone away with 3 points. Like, it does just go to show how few teams are setting up to actually win those games, and they might score the goal and then go defensive again and revert back to type, and you're seeing sort of 10, 11 players behind the ball. How many times do you see other teams struggle to break these teams down because there's nowhere to go? There's no space on the pitch. You're struggling out wide. You can't just go through the middle. You've got to try and lump a long ball over the top sometimes. It doesn't work to just play this exciting brand of football. And hopefully next season, yeah, we do get to see a bit more of it because teams will come looking for a win. But if they aren't setting up for it, it's really tricky to score. Much more tricky than people give it credit for as well.
The one response I heard to a point like that on social media was, Gary Johnson did it in 2003. That was exciting football. Yeah, but that was 21 years ago as well. So
yeah, and Gary Johnson had a team of players who were all pretty much League One, League Two players who all, a lot of that squad went on to play in the Championship, didn't they? you know, there's I don't see, I don't know, I don't see a lot of players in this team that I can see, you know, playing for Bristol City, going for the playoffs in a few years' time, in the same way that Jevons, Johnson, Chris Wheel, Liam Fontaine, who else was in that? There was a few ex-Yeovil players who, you know, were in that team, wasn't there?
Yeah. I'll throw in Graham Roberts, swashbuckling class of 95 in there as well.
I think we still drew like 10 or
moving on from that.
We still drew like 10 or 11 games that season as well.
95? Do you remember 95?
No. 2002, 2003. I still think we drew like 10 or 11 games that year. We lost three off the top of my head, maybe. I don't know. I can't remember. I looked at it the other day, though. I mean, we're actually probably around a similar place, wins, losses, draws. Less draws than that season, maybe more losses.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, if we're comparing a team to, you know, football was a totally different game.
Yeah.
20-odd years ago, wasn't it?
Still 11 men against 11, Ian.
They didn't set up the same day back then.
Yeah, Gavin Williams was right at his peak then as well. Maybe not at his peak, on his way to his peak. Just a word, I also thought that the way, once Welling scored, the way they managed the game for the rest of it was just exemplary. Like every possible second that they could take, they took down in the corners, holding on to the ball. It was one of those, if we were 1-0 up and we'd done that against, you know, a team that was above us, not that any are, we'd be quite pleased with the way we saw that game out.
They were managing the game from the 30th minute, let alone from the moment they put the ball in the net. What going back to the goal, what a finish it was as well. Yeah. Slots it over from a hell of an angle. Irritates the Thatcher's end as well with a absolute...
He was there for a while celebrating, wasn't he?
Howsery of a celebration. The kind that proper gets under your skin. But yeah, great finish to sort of bounce on that ball back into the box. And I think it was looking back on it, quite unlucky.
Yeah. He still has to get around Morgan Williams. And then, like you say, the angle is like tight. And Joe Day's a big goalkeeper and he still manages to find a way past him. Sorry, Dave, what were you going to say?
I see you're blaming the pitch for Cooper's miss. Place pass?
No.
The pitch, I don't think he's blamed the pitch.
No. I thought what's he said earlier on, something about the pitch, but maybe that's something else.
No, it bubbles up a little bit as it comes in, doesn't it? If you see it back, it's a bit of an awkward one that comes back to him, but yeah.
Yeah. The wrong man to be doing it as well.
Yes. Well,
He's never going to get let off, is he? I was saying to Debs that although he couldn't see it at the time, but the goal that we conceded at Chelmsford the other week was a terrible mistake by Morgan Williams. I didn't see or hear one person calling Morgan Williams fit to burn. But if you went onto social media on Saturday night, there's plenty. Where's the Charlie Cooper fans now? Let's hear you. Blah blah blah. So yeah.
Every season you get one of them players, don't you? You just get one of those players who either the fans have to love or the fans have to not love so much. And, oh, you'll say for him, you'll say against him. I mean, keeper's done very well since came back from his injury. I didn't think he had a particularly good game yesterday, but also we lost and not many people did. All the bits and bobs. I know, I think I spoke about this last week as well. Doing that horrible stuff that you don't normally see. A little bit Richard Hines-esque, I guess, from back in the day. I don't know.
We were crying out for him. What night was it we were crying out for him? Aveley. I think it was that kind of game where you'd play Aveley. Can't remember who played what game. There was one of the games where you're thinking, oh, we could do a Cooper just to, you know, give someone a kick here. And yeah, it's difficult. I mean, don't fall in love with footballers as rule number one. Then when they are good, you can just enjoy them for being good. Then when they're bad, you can just say, well, they've not been very good there, have they? And just try to remain level-headed with it all. But yeah, I do feel for him because, yeah, he does more good than bad. But when he does bad, it's quite noticeable and people call him out on it.
He couldn't really give anyone a kick yesterday either, could he?
No, exactly.
So, which
do you think he went back into the changing room just kicking everything in sight? Just letting all them kicks out.
The Lucozade bottles really took the brunt of it, I think.
Maybe. It was a short post match yesterday as well. And the manager was up and out as soon as the last question was asked.
I noticed the BBC interview made it onto the club YouTube as well.
Yeah, they do now.
There were no supplementary interviews anymore.
Yeah, well, they did. I think if you watch back the where they did the other, didn't they? I think there's a few questions from Dan for Worthy as well. But yeah, and as Worthy said, we can put it right on Tuesday. When
absolutely.
Chipnam come to town.
Gary Alwyn's going to be there. Chipnam. You can't be there, can you? I don't know, because that's Wiltshire, isn't it? So it can't be. No conflict of interest there.
I'm conflict of interest. I'm going to hot step it from Yeovil Junction if my train from London makes it back on time.
Oh, okay.
And go straight to the game. I'm not on comms on Tuesday because I'm up in London for a couple of days, so yeah, hopefully make it. No, is it on the stream? If not,
it is on the stream. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But Chippenham have lost the last couple. Hampden at the weekend lost 2-1 there. Lost at home to Western Supermare for that.
Kind of mid-table, nothing to play, nothing, not likely to go down, not likely to go up, are they? Nothing to play for. Free hit.
Well, they got 45 points.
Are they?
Yeah, Truro below them have got 4 games in hand. Taunton have got 4 games in hand on them as well. Obviously, games in hand, it's an automatic win, so...
So, congratulations, Taunton Town, on being champions of National League South.
They might get pulled back into it, but again, no. And it's because at this point, it's just become a total cliche, isn't it? That everyone comes to Hewish Park and plays out their skin because it's, you know, not very many chances to play there. I think it'll be another one of those games. It'll probably be a bit like the Western game where we're patient, hopefully not too slow, and try and break them down. But yeah, a few tactical decisions need making. I can't imagine Jay Folston's going to want to see his name at right back on the team sheet when he goes in on Tuesday night, but chance to right a wrong.
I mean, it's either that or it's a quick start, isn't it? That seems to be the things that work well for us, either the patient approach or the get ahead early. When was it? When it was that Pearson's debut or re-debut when he scored after just a few minutes? And obviously, if Williams had put that one a couple of inches low on Saturday, then would have been a quick start as well, wouldn't it? I mean, that's the...
He scored early at Tunbridge as well, didn't we? Was it Tunbridge we scored early? Young scored.
Yeah, fairly early. Fairly 15 early. Minutes or something. Yeah. So, yeah, first 15 minutes. But, yeah. So that's the other way of doing it, I suppose. It's an option.
They weren't a bad team when, you know, that was one of your jinxed games, wasn't it, that you went to, Dave? But...
Well, that's another point, Ian. Yeah, that's another point. results. Only as good as your last result.
They broke last down result the, was a 3-1 win.
They broke down the wing that night, didn't they? If I recall, and then put it. It was quite late on in the game.
Yeah, JMD gave the JMD's ball away
last game, wasn't it? Yeah.
Never to be seen again. And didn't Williams head it in off of Idahan, or Idahan headed it in off that's of right, Williams? Yeah. It was like a rancid own goal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
After Hyde had put us up and Murphy had missed about 40 chances.
He did have a lot of shots that night, didn't he?
Yeah. So hopefully we can create. And yeah, maybe someone will put them in. But
It's going to be tricky. The later we get on in the season, the closer we get, you're always thinking ahead. No matter what they say, if we're focusing on the next team, you get the jitters a little bit, you get a bit nervous, you just want to get the job done. You see that in every single sport. The closer you get to finishing the job off, the harder it is to just get those last few wins that you need. I think that probably goes back to yesterday a little bit, but I think it's good that we're playing on Tuesday night this week. Chance to write it straight away. And they'll have one eye on the Chelmsford game. They've got to go to Maidstone away on Tuesday night as well. So they'll know that we can't, they won't want to be slipping up on Tuesday night, because the pressure will start to mount that a little bit more than it needs to. Keep that gap at 9 points or extend it further. Maybe it's even at that time in the season now where can we start cheering if another scheme team scores and we're winning or something like that. That'd be, I've always wanted to be in one of them football grounds so that happens.
Maidstone are 3 up at against Chelmsford,
and the message has got out to the players on the pitch. They'll know about this.
Get it forward, Cooper. Well, I mean, Maidstone are just outside, you know, Maidstone are just outside the playoffs at the moment as well. Level on points for Bath, but they're going to want to get something and not be at risk of sort of falling away from that pack as well. But yeah, I mean, I think there's so much inconsistency below us.
Yeah.
So much inconsistency that.
Taunton beating Worthing is okay. After Worthing beat Chelmsford, that's a crazy one, isn't it?
Worthing aren't going to come back into it now, though, are they? Not with their managers just going last week to our friends up at York. I don't think we're going to see.
I mean, they'll make the playoffs, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't think. I think it's us and Chelmsford now, isn't it?
Is it?
Well, if you're picking a rival, and I would say they're the only one that's realistically got a chance. And it is a slim, realistic chance.
If you're selecting a team on flash scores on Tuesday night, make sure that it's Chelmsford. And if they go 1-0 down, make sure you cheer if you're in Hughes Park. Is that what you're saying, Dave?
That's absolutely what I'm saying, yeah. I'll cheer even though I'm not in Hughes Park.
When's our game in hand, the Truro game?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Which is quite a while away, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's April time, right? Yeah.
So, looking at the table, Slough next Saturday. I know this is Thursday's podcast conversation, but they're not doing too badly, are they? They're hovering somewhere around those that could nick it into the playoffs. But anyway, one for Thursday.
Right. Should we do some quick fire questions?
Quick fire questions. QGCQs.
Debs Curtis would like to know if any of us have any match day superstitions.
I only go to games where I think we might win.
And then we lose?
Not always, no. Only as good as the last game here. I'm going to stick to that one while I've still got it.
Are you going to Slough?
No, I'm not, no.
Oh.
I know. I would normally go. I'm achieving friend points by taking my Notts County supporting friend to Accrington for a birthday present. There you go. That's right. The kind of friend
Notts
I am.
Notts County playing at Accrington.
They are playing at Accrington. Yeah. I'm not that cruel. I'm not that cruel.
What's that in? Oh no, Accrington.
Accrington.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm thinking of Altrincham. Okay, so no, you go to games that you think we might win. Watsy, any superstitions?
Go to games that Coatesy's not going to.
Don't. You're always there.
Yeah, no, none from me.
No, I don't have any
I
either.
Think of a superstition. What was Deb's superstition?
Deb's superstition is that she always has coffee out of her YTFC mug until Saturday, and she realised that she was walking to the ground. So she's taking the blame, shouldering her responsibility for not drinking out of her YTFC mug.
Big L from Deb, sir. Can only look in one direction on the back of that result yesterday, really. I think let's cut the rest of the podcast, Ian. We know where the blame lies now.
Yeah, if you drink that coffee, Charlie Cooper's pass goes straight to Morgan Williams' feet. He plays a lovely ball across goal.
Smith's hamstring is that of a 21-year-old, is that?
A lot of questions around Linton. I think we've covered Malachi Linton. Martin Lee says, after Welling's coach pulled out of Hewish Park yesterday, which other team would you like to never have to play again? See, I'd quite like to play Welling again because
Nigel. Well, I'm too.
Nigel, who was on the foot in the opposition camp, is probably the loveliest away fan I've ever met. Had a big tub of sweets that he brought.
Gonna say this was he brought sweets. That's what he did, didn't he? Literally
in the press box. Yeah, he did. And like literally as the game finished when we were packing up our stuff, he just leans over and like drops a handful of sweets in front of me.
I hope they were suitably wrapped.
No, it was right. It was fine. 5 second rule.
Okay. Well, is it a clean environment? Is it a hygienic environment? The press box?
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Right. It was like commiseration sweets. Right. But very, very well appreciated. So
what did they taste like?
They're a bit like Haribo's. They were like budget Haribo's.
Okay.
You'd have liked them, Dave.
Yeah, I like anything sweet, yeah.
Value for money as well there. The Lidl special tub of Haribo.
Yeah. Yeah, they're called Bebeto. Which, you know, that's a football. Bebeto. That's a football. Yeah, he did the rocking the baby celebration. Didn't
Romario as well. Bebeto.
There's a striker. We could have done with Bebeto yesterday.
Yeah. Could have done. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know about teams that I wouldn't want to have to play again.
Good ones.
Good ones.
Or are you talking about horrible ones?
I think horrible ones.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of teams that have come to Yeovil this season have been pretty horrible, haven't they?
Avely, just because.
Oh, yeah.
That whole thing.
Winging.
Boring from them, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you think this is from? Johnny E65.
Johnny.
Where do you guys think Low Everton's best position is?
Well, I think earlier in the season, when he was playing in a deeper role, he seemed to be quite effective, didn't he? But see, probably the most effective I've seen him play is when he's been playing in a deeper role. How did he look? He was much more further forward, wasn't he, on Saturday? Go on.
Cooper was the deepest midfielder, and then Worthy and Sonny were given freedom to roam.
I want to know. What's he showing me? All of his perfectly straight teeth. So I want to know what he's got to say.
I've just been absolutely sent by Kate's trying to think of where he plays on the pitch.
He plays deeper,
every time I've seen him, it's deep, the deepest role on the pitch.
Who?
You just now.
I'm not sure I understand this point, but go on. Well, all right then, where's his best position?
I think
deeper.
I think probably in the centre mid role. Yeah,
okay. His best game, I think the best game he's had this season was at Torquay. And I think he was next to Worthy, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, next to Worthy.
That's when he scored that pinger.
Cooper in behind him. He's got quite a shot on them, though, hasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Midfield. There you go. His best position is in midfield. Over to Facebook. Brian Terry says, here's rumours that Murphy might be back soon. Any truth? And does Frank look a little lost without him? The Murph, Lay and Custard. I think there's a bit of that.
You can say he definitely looks better with him there. But I think everything that we do going forward looks better when you've got a fully fit and firing Reece Murphy. So hopefully he is back soon.
Yeah, there was a bit of word going around yesterday that he was close to being back. That I don't really know what that means, but I guess that might be one that gets asked in one of the presses this week because it's a key part in the running, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Mark Cooper said, or we're more likely to see Murphy than Hyde this season. I think when we asked a few weeks back, I think Murphy was sort of perhaps a couple of weeks before the end of the season, but who knows, it might be sooner. And didn't he? I think he said on Thursday that Jake Hyde's had another couple of weeks added on to his injury. So, yeah, I don't know. I get the feeling that's the last we've seen of Jake Hyde.
Yeah,
in the Yeovil Town shirt.
I thought I'd be surprised if we saw either by the end of the season, to be honest. So one out of two would be nice. And I think probably Murphy's the one that you prefer out of the two as well.
Yeah. And the last one here, this is not a question. This is from Lee Riggs. Despite the result, we should be proud of our club. My daughter was mascot and the staff and players were amazing with her. She's only three. We are still top, still flying, and got a team to be proud of. 3 points on Tuesday will be the perfect tonic.
Can't say it better than that, can we?
No. Hear, hear.
Well said that, man. On to Tuesday.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Manon, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!